The epistle appointed for this, the fourth Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come that will be revealed in us. For the eager longing of creation awaits the revelation of the sons of God. For creation was made subject to vanity, not by its own will, but by reason of him who made it subject, in hope, because creation itself also will be delivered from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the sons of God. For we know that all creation groans and travails in pain until now. And not only it, but we ourselves also, who have had the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoptions as sons of God, the redemption of our body in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is according to St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, while the crowds were pressing upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by Lake Gennesaret, and he saw two boats moored by the lake. But the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. And getting into one of the boats, the one that was Simon's, he besought him to put out a little from the land. And sitting down, he began to teach the crowds from the boat. But when he had ceased speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and lower your nets for a catch." And Simon answered and said to him, "Master, the whole night through we have toiled and have taken nothing, but at thy word I will lower the net." And when he had done so, they enclosed a great number of fishes, but their net was breaking. And they beckoned to their comrades in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' feet, knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had made, and so were also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. But Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. Henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left all and followed him. This is the end of the Epistle and Gospel reading. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. As we now begin the long Sundays of Pentecost, we step back a bit to be reminded after the first Sunday of Pentecost, which was the Feast of the Holy Trinity. With the Epistle and Gospel of that Sunday is a teaching part, while our Lord opens up with his admonitions against one of our most predominant faults, and that is judgment and condemning. Either we judge in our mind or hearts, are condemned in our hearts and mind. And our Lord's admonishing us not to do these things, no matter who they are or what they are, what they have done. He reminds us, "Judge and you shall not be judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned." How often do we get stuck in this fault? Sometimes, maybe so, it might even be justified. But still, our Lord wishes us to practice charity and not go down that road. If anything, we should pray for these people. The next Sunday, our Lord is inviting us to the great banquet feast. And he's going out in all the byways and highways, trying to get everyone in to fill up his house. The house he's trying to fill up is heaven. Here too on this Sunday, some pride, maybe arrogance or vanity, whatever you want to call it, comes into play. How often we turn away from the Word of God and make excuses, as it was said in the Gospel. I have 5 oxen to try out. Please hold me excused. I have this to do. I have that to do. I'm married, so I can't come. How often do we put aside our eternal home and give in to worldliness, give in to ourself, our self-interest, our self-will? And we know at the end of that gospel, our Lord speaks really strongly. For those who are invited shall never taste of my meal. It's a hard condemnation. But the gift and the reward that he is offering us is of that great magnitude. The third Sunday after Pentecost, our Lord now tells us how to remedy these acts of pride and arrogance. We have to humble ourselves. We have to remember we are nothing. And what part of nothing do you not understand? We are servants of God, all of us. No matter what we have in life, no matter how prestigious we might be, how much knowledge we might know, how much things we do, that's good, but we're all still servants of God, all of us. Just like it says in the Catechism, to know, to love, to serve, and to be happy with Him for all eternity. That's the goal. God cannot work with a proud man. He cannot work with a proud man. He couldn't work with Lucifer. And look what his pride did for him. Look what pride did to our first parents. Had Lucifer humbled himself, things might have changed. But he took it too far. In today's epistle and gospel, St. Paul now tells us not to compare the times that we live in for the glory to come. Yes, we're going to suffer a little bit and for a little while. That's inevitable. But if we offer these things up the way we're supposed to, look at the reward that is standing in front of us. Suffer for us for a little while for our Lord, and look what He is going to offer us. Sometimes we get discouraged in our work. As the gospel points out, St. Peter was fishing all night long, working his nets, and that is a tiring job. Lowing says, pulling them back in the boat, getting nothing, lowering the nets, pulling back in the boat, getting nothing, hour after hour after hour. They finally come into shore and rinse off their nets and all. And this man called Jesus comes up and says, move your boat out a little bit. I want to talk to the crowds. And after he got done preaching, he says something really bizarre. Lower your nets for the catch. If we use modern language, I think St. Peter said, really? After all night long I've been doing this, you think I'm going to catch some fish now? But he said, well, at your word I'll do it anyway. Just to show you that. You know, just to show you, it's not going to happen. And a great miracle took place. Sometimes to us too, we have to take that, I can't think of the word I want to use here. Oh well. But the thing is, he was told to do something that he knew that wasn't going to work, but he did it anyhow. And sometimes we have to work like that too. Take the extra mile, try to make something work out, and trust in the good Lord that He will help us. And with the things and projects or works that we're trying to do, they'll achieve the right things that we're looking for. But we have to struggle at it. We have to want to do it. Peter could have easily just said, forget it. I'm not going to do this. It's a waste of time. But afterwards, then he realized what was going on, and yes, he humbled himself immediately. Lord, I'm a sinful man, depart from me. But here was a prefigurement. This catch of fish was what was going to happen in the future, that Peter would catch men, and a lot of them. But in the beginning, as always, Peter always has the hard time speaking his own mind. Our Lord always had to kind of admonish him from time to time. And lastly, on July 1st, Father Michael and I celebrated his 25th anniversary to the priesthood. On that day in 1997, this young ordinand standing before his bishop, after long prayers been said, in silence, the consecrated hands of the bishop places his hands on the top of his head. And at that moment, another miracle happened. At that moment, the son of Anaya becomes the son of Christ, another Alter Christus, another Christ. At that very moment. And in the joy of that celebration, he says his first Mass with the bishop. But let us think how awesome the priesthood is, how much a part of the priesthood that is of our lives. It is the priest who meets us at the baptismal font in the sacrament of baptism, making us a child of God. A few years later, it's again the same priest who instructs us and helps us to make our first confession. It's the same priest that helps us make our first Holy Communion. A few years later, this priest again comes and instructs us to prepare ourselves for the Holy Sacrament of Confirmation. It's the same priest that during the young adult life, he instructs us to live a holy life. And then later on again, he instructs us again for the candidate and his beautiful bride to become in the sacrament of matrimony. And then after long years of living together and getting old and weak, it's again the priest who comes and prepares our soul with the sacrament of extreme unction. So throughout our whole life, the priest has a great part of it. He's there to point the way we are supposed to follow. He points the way, and the work is left up for you to do. This is an awesome gift. And being on the 25th anniversary, the joys that should fill his heart are unimaginable. But also those with the other parts too. The sadness of failure, the long nights, the wrestling with the devil, and such like. All because we love God. Always doing our best to show you how to walk towards God, to become holy. And pray by God's grace that our example is true. May God bless him. Bless me too. That he'll bless him with many years to come. But the thoughts that go in one's mind at ordination time is very awesome. A lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a little bit of fear. The awesomeness that one picked out of many to stand before the altar and offer God to God. It's an awesome thing. So let us keep Father in our prayers. May God bless him and me, that we will be able to continue to show you how to walk towards God, to show you how to live with God. And like even in the monastery, it's the daily duties, the daily things that we do and try to perfect in these things. These are what pleases God. This is what pleases God. that we do it out of love for Him. It's not about me or you, it's about Him. It's all about Him. And sometimes we might think, well, it's a humdrum thing. We do the same thing over and over every day, every day, every day. That may be true. But if it's done out of love, then it feels like it's new every day. But we have to do this. We don't have a choice. If we want the reward that God gives us, is handing out to us, the reward of eternal life, that we must be willing to suffer anything and everything to gain it. Don't let the world at the present moment scare you or fool you in any way, shape, or form. The world's going to go its way. We live in the world, but we have no part of it. And since the world doesn't know it, doesn't have any teachers or anything to show it the way that it's supposed to go, then we do it by our good example. Because after all, if our good example isn't good enough, then what is? It's a good example that converted all of Europe when St. Benedict was started out. He didn't preach or teach, but the good example today seems almost null and not there. We have to do our part as best we can. And with the help of God's grace, we will. Take courage. Watch and pray. That's our Lord's admonition to watch and to pray. Watch that we avoid sin and pray for the grace of God, so we may do His will always, at all times, in all places. May God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.